Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, that theme music you heard is by the wonderful Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster.
They're the best people ever.
And we appreciate
them. We so appreciate them.
Especially our theme song and maybe future Jazz Nest.
Oh, definitely future Jazz Nest.
We'll be talking more about that. So actually, I will put a link on our Art on the Air page to the website about that, so you can find out information in the future.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
It was a fabulous event. Our underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Like to find out more about leasing space in this wonderful historic technical building right here on 130 near Valparaiso, call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank them for their generous support. We always give a shout out to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager, getting us on the air.
Yay, Greg.
By the way, Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. So there, we appreciate their support to keep us going here at WVLP and with Art in the Air. Hey, you interested in being a guest on our show? Send us information about your arts-related event. You can email us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. Love to get your information out there. You can also like us on Facebook, artontheair-wvlp, and you can send us information there also. Hey, our program, along with all of our programs, stream live at wvlp.org. Art on the Air is also rebroadcast right here on this station on Mondays at 5 p.m. You can check our entire show archive for over a past year at breck.com/AOT. That's Breck, BREECH.com/AOTA. And we also have our detailed arts calendar there.
I know, and it's so easy to use. You did a brilliant job on it. I love it.
Thank you so much. Hey, our shows are also, like we said before, carried on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. That's Sundays at 7 p.m.
And we like that very much.
We like it. It gives us a wider audience, and we appreciate that. And then we're also heard on WIUN, Red Hawk Radio, IU Northwest online closed circuit radio station, and we're on there. Now, how are we on the air? We are a community public radio station that's supported by you, the listener, and all of our underwriters. And we're always looking for support from different groups, whether you're an individual listener or maybe you have a business. And especially if you're an arts business, we have the target market to bring to you. We can bring you whoever you want to hear because people are listening to the show. I know on our Facebook organic reach, we're getting about 1,500 people a week. And that means our show probably is getting about that equivalent or more.
And Greg just told me today that our live listenership is quite large as well. So
we know you're out there listening. So if you'd like to connect with those people, we don't sell commercials. We're not a commercial station, so we run our entire show. We're the only long-form arts show in the area that does a whole interview for at least 45 minutes with our guests. Anyway, if you want to support, go to wvlp.org/support. Also, you can go to our website, breck.com/AOTA, and we have a support page there. And we especially would love you to be a supporter of this show specifically, and we would be happy to mention you every week when we do our show. There's various amounts you can do that, and you support that. We're doing some equipment upgrades here that we really appreciate. And like I said, every week we want you to be a listener, not just a supporter, because don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air and WVLP. Well, let's start with our arts calendar, and we'll start with good old Porter County. Valparaiso University still continues at the Brower Museum with the Brown County and Beyond by Curry Bohm. We have Spectral Speculations. These are Japanese prints from their archive collection, and it's the wonderful, beautiful collection curated by Sandy Kita. Unfinished work by Mary Bork is there, and also prints by Latero Capini. These are all at the Brouwer Museum, and these are some of these are part of their permanent collection. You can see that, and Greg does a great job there as the manager of the museum, former host of the show. Village Gallery at the Pines, that's the Village Gallery in Valparaiso. They continue with Jackson Pierce, Remembering a Man and His Eye for the Beauty, and that opened on January 12th. It's running through mid-February. I know they don't have another February show, so he might be extended another month. I know that happened with my show there. I got an extra month in there, but that's the Village Gallery in Valparaiso.
Yay.
Chesterton Art Center. Well, they have such a huge number of classes going on. You can just go there and find out about it. Monday Night Ceramics have returned. They also 18 artist member exhibit there and opened on last Sunday. I went to it and saw the exhibit. Great combination of things going on there. But they also the other thing going on with Chesterton Art Center is if you're interested in being in the Chesterton Art Fair, they are now taking reservations for that. And believe me, it's a juried into the fair. And anymore, we're getting anywhere from about 100 or more people that are part of that fair. That's in August, but they're taking applications right now. Find out information at the web links. All the web links, by the way, are on our arts events page. Art Barn. Well, the Duneland Photography Club just opened their exhibit there. They'll be running through March 14th. It's called Anticipating Spring, and it features about 18 photographers that are members of the Duneland Photography Club. They just closed their exhibit at the Chesterton Art Center and moved it over there, so you can see that. They will have their opening reception on February 15th, 2 to 4 p.m., so you can find out that. Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques in Chesterton on February 15th. You can meet the author, Sherry Miracle Fierenty. She's have an afternoon of chapter reading, book signing, photo opportunities. This is an illustrated book. It's appropriate for young kids, 2 to 5, and so she'll be there 11:30 to 2:30 on February 15th. Any information on our site. The Ellen Firm Gallery continues with the Chase Iron Horse. That's the 40 by 50 oil, beautiful of the Iron Horse there, and along with other things. That's right along US 12 there. Kevin Firm, well, he's actually now got an exhibit at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. It opened on January 26th. It'll be running for through May, so you get a chance to get up there. You can see that. It'll be a wonderful exhibit for Kevin. Depot Museum and Art Gallery. Well, they have a call for art. This is their fundraiser, the third annual 5x5 at the Depot. And they'll provide canvases or little 5x5 frames. I know I participated the last several years submitting things. It's a great thing for artists to support. You can start, you need to pick them up by March 1st and then submit their work. It'll be in May when they do their opening. That's the wonderful little Depot Museum and Art Gallery right there on US 12 in Beverly Shores. Memorial Opera House, well, they're getting ready. February 14th, Mary Poppins, the musical opens. So you can find out information about that. It'll be running through March 1st so that you can bring the magic of Disney's Mary Poppins on stage. Dig the Dunes calendar. Well, there might still, I didn't check with Eve this week, but I think they still have a few left. You can find out by directly going to the link on their page. And she always has wonderful things. I know she was out cross-country skiing the other day, so always busy there. Chicago Street Theater. Well, they're now in the final weekend of their Curious Incident of the Dog at Nighttime. It's closing February 8th. So if you haven't seen that in Valparaiso, Chicago Street Theater, get out and get a chance there. 4th Street Theater presents in Chesterton Art, and that's the name of the show, Art. It's a three-person show. It'll open March 13th, runs through the 20th. You can get tickets and information on there. So that's what we got going on in Porter County. Esther, what do we got going on in LaPorte County?
Oh, my. LaPorte County is probably pretty snowy today. It's First Friday, so we've got a few First Friday festivities. So the Thaddeus C. Gallery is located in downtown LaPorte, and it's a really great gallery. Please look them up. Lubesnik Center for the Arts has an opening February 7th in the Heinemann Gallery. The exhibit is local at LCA, and it's art from the Area Artists Association. They're also showing in the Upstairs Gallery. Absorbing the Abstract, Student Works from the LCA is showing in the NIPSCO Art Education Studios from January 25th until February 29th. Rising Phoenix Gallery is closed until March 1st. SFC Gallery has no exhibit this month, but they'll be back next month with their Artist Appreciation Evening. Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting the work by Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang, and they are on winter hiatus right now. The Nest has the exhibit, Robert Serko's exhibit, Me, Myself, and Eyes, Recent Paintings and Drawings. We love you, Bob. Take care. Comic and Drawing Club is every Friday from 3 to 5 or 6 p.m., so, and that's you know, a group of people who just want to get together and draw together and possibly create a comic together, we hope, eventually. First Friday Drum Circle with John Wenig begins at 6:30, February 7th, tonight, First Friday, for everybody who's listening right now. Seasons of the Heart, Perspectives on the Meaning of Love. It's a storytelling show with adult themes and strong language, so please, probably 18 plus. That will be Friday, February the 14th at 7 p.m. We'll have a cash bar. Come and listen to stories, and then after the stories are done, there'll be an open mic for stories as well with Roger Batten and My Path Bibliotherapy, Saturday, February 15th. And every third Saturday, the All Ages, All Talents, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent at 7 p.m. It is open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. Brain Injury Support Group, during the winter months, we're meeting at the Nest, and that's every third Wednesday of the month. February 19th is the next one. The month of March has the International Women's Day celebrations. Please look at our calendar. I won't go through the whole thing now, but we have four Sundays, March 8th, March 15th, March 22nd, and March 29th, with interesting activities, Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. Art and Horse Assisted Healing and Empowerment. This is going to be no art or horse experience necessary, March 28th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., probably at Anamkara Stables. And that's it for
LaPorte County. Yes, and I will be at the Lebesnik tonight for a short time for the opening.
How many pieces do you have?
I have three pieces in the show. They're what I call nostalgic structures. So two of them are familiar with us. They're the Florida Tropical House and the wonderful Beverly Shores Museum and Depot. And then the other one is from the Northwoods of Wisconsin, Minnow Shack. So those are part of that. It's a great exhibit there for the 40th anniversary.
It looks very good.
So, and I saw two of my pieces in the Beecher, so that they were promoting the show. So get out there and see that. L Studio 659, by the way, I have three pieces in that show. It's the artistic license that's in Whiting. Had their opening last week, and so that's going to be running through the whole month here. They may extend it, is what they told me. They said, well, you know, if it's okay, we might extend the thing past February. South Shore Arts, of course. Well, first of all, contact Donna Catalano if you're coming up on the deadline for your individual art projects, grants, and things like that.
That was yesterday.
It was yesterday, mm-hmm. So it's all done.
It's all done.
So if you didn't get it in, don't call Donna now. It'll be too late. But if you ever have questions about things like that, Donna will tell you, keep you up to speed on everything like that. Bachman Gallery, Things That Go Bump in the Night. That continued through February 2nd. It's coming down now. They're going to get their new exhibit ready. But the Atrium Gallery still has Earth Forms, and they'll be running through March 8th. Crown Point Branch has Winter in the Dunes. Several artists that put their work together about dunes, they'll be running also through March 8th. Substation Number 9. And Gallery of the Voice, and that'll be continuing there. And Toll Theater, it's a surreal thing. Their reception for that show is February 21st, though the show is up, and you can see that if you go see a show at the Toll Theater or just drop in. Miller Beach and Arts Creative District, Black History Month, their opening reception February 7th. So that's a first Friday reception there, and they'll have the whole exhibit there, a variety of different people coming in with their artwork. South Lake Artists Cooperative, or otherwise known as SLAC. They still have a call for art for Wanderlust through February 15th. Currently, that'll be at the Wild Rose Brewery. Their current exhibit, Coffee, is at the Sip Coffee House, and then their other one is called Crackle at the Sip Coffee House number 2 in Highland. So you can see that. They don't have a website, but they have a Facebook page, and it's very active there. Paul Henry Gallery. They have Interwoven Stories. It's an exhibit with Randy Bufla, Sarah P. Convery, Tony Lipka, and Gary Price. They open February 1st, and it'll be running there. And also just remind you, if you ever want to have a fun evening, go there on Thursday nights from 7 to 10. They have an acoustic jam, and they have other events going on. Theater at the Center. Well, they're just about ready to open their next show called Almost Heaven, February 13th through March 22nd. Salute to John Denver and others. So it'll be a great show running at Theater Center. My old stomping grounds there for many years. Promise You Art House. Well, they're still running their exhibit called Nostalgia that opened on February 1st. That's in Highland. You can find out information there. Fox Gallery. Well, Fox Gallery is in Lake Station, and they are doing a first Friday open mic, 7 to 10. You can find out the information on the link on our page. Lakeshore Community Concerts. Well, Jason Lyle Black, he's a comic pianist. They'll be coming up on Sunday, February 9th at 2 p.m. And they do have a season ticket, but you can actually buy half a season and save a the whole bundle of money, or you can buy a single ticket. But the single ticket's almost the same price as buying a half a season. They have two other concerts past this one. And again, I worked with the Lakeshore Community Concert people for many, many years. Northwest Indiana Symphony, well, their next concert's not till March 6th. They'll be doing Vivaldi, Rachmaninoff, and Beethoven, so you can't miss that. One of the guest people they'll have is Yana Resnick, which I've had on my stage also. Purdue University Northwest, this was kind of an emergency call for theater people. They're looking male, especially, or female actors. They're doing several productions. The restriction is they have to be either students, alumni, or staff, or faculty at Purdue University Northwest. And they're doing Order in the Court, which is a double bill Gilbert and Sullivan short operetta. Then they're also doing The Devil and Daniel Webster, and one other little show, and they'll be doing that. So the contact information is on our webpage. They're looking real quick to fill those places. They especially need two more males to do that. And that's what we have going on in Lake County. Hey, where's your event on our calendar? You didn't send it to us? Well, how you do is send it to artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Or drop us information on our Facebook page. We'll be happy to get you on the air. And if you're interested in being on the show, we'd love to have you on. It'd be really great. Well, we have a couple of brothers here that are well-known among the art community in Northwest Indiana, especially centered in Michigan City. But, boy, I know people that know them all throughout the area. These two little Dutch boys came over here, and they'll tell us your story. But we'll introduce John Brabant-Lenting and his wonderful brother, Giuseppe, which we got on the air, too. So welcome to Art on the Air.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to first start with Giuseppe because Robin's been here before, and so we told you this story. So, Giuseppe, tell us a little bit about your background, you grew up and everything like that, and how you got from where you are to where you are now.
Well, I grew up in Seto van Bos in the Netherlands, which is the home of Hieronymus Bosch. My brother, we were born right there. We were baptized in one of the biggest churches there, the Catholic churches, and we came here in 1953 on the big boat called the Grote Bear, the Great Bear. And then we emigrated to, my dad had got a job in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and we moved there, and we stayed there for about maybe 6 years, seven, something like that. And that was an experience in the wintertime.
What did he do? What kind of job was it?
He was a tool and die maker for Watkins, and then later on he got hired by Ford Motor Company in Chicago Heights, where he was a tool and die maker until he retired. So worked there about 40 years. But it was an experience in Winnipeg there. They used to have some big snows. Nothing like here.
Nothing like Northwest Indiana.
We'd have to build from the back door, from the back kitchen door, we'd have to build a tunnel to the garage. I'm not exaggerating. It was like an igloo inside. You had to walk. It was like we had pictures of it. So, and then we moved to South Chicago Heights. My dad got the job at Ford, and we went to Bloom Township High School with my brother, and I used to look out. I've been looking out for him all my life. So.
And you're the younger, and you're the younger brother too. You're looking out for him, right?
I'm the older brother.
Oh, okay.
So some guy was trying to shake him down in high school, and he was the artist type, the more, not really rough. But I hung around with a rough crowd, and I got a hold of the guy that was trying to shake him down, and got into a little scuffle with him. But I straightened him out, so. And then, graduated from high school. My brother went to the Navy. He got drafted. he joined the Navy, and I didn't get a notice. So I just went to California. I was a hippie. I ended up in San Bernardino in a commune for a few few years.
Are there stories? There's probably stories
there's a whole story there. Yeah, there's a whole story there. You're right there. I could go on and on, but I won't.
You might have some little hippies running around, huh?
Yeah, well, it's possible. It was the era of free love and all that stuff going on. So, and then I came back here, and I worked at a friend of mine had a supermarket. I ran that. Then we started an ice business called Town and Country Ice Business out of Crete, Illinois.
Okay.
And we started with one ice box. We used to buy from Index Supply out of LaPorte, Indiana, and we built it up to over 200 accounts, two trucks, and I started a driving range in Crete there. It's the buildings in that still there. I gave the owner the idea, and he said, "Nah, it'll never fly," and I said, "Try it." So he got a excavator over there. People bring to fill in. It was like swampland. And that was a big success. So, and after that, I worked for Caterpillar for a while, driving, picking up heavy equipment and forklifts right out of Hammond, Indiana here. And that lasted for about 2 years because the fellas that were mechanics, they wanted to go on strike. Well, guess what? Corporate said no, and they closed the whole plant down, so I was out of a job.
Wow.
From there, I went to running a discotheque on Russian Oak in Chicago.
Which one was that?
The Happy Medium.
Oh, yeah. Well, I spent
jazz
some time...
meeting was downstairs. Joey Siegel ran that.
Yeah.
And I ran the Happy Medium up there for my friend that owned the building.
That was the first place that I went in high school to see Maynard Ferguson in the Jazz Showcase.
The Jazz Medium downstairs.
Yeah, that was in 1972. So.
Yeah, we booked Wayne Cochran in there, and he tore the place up. Wayne Cochran and the C.C. Rider, he was quite a wild guy. He was handing out all
literally
the
tore it up?
He was handing out all the good booze. My boss said, "Stop him! He's giving away all our good booze." He said, "They're having a good time. Let him go." So we let him go. It was quite a deal. Then, after that, I ran a gas station in Lansing. So I've been around quite a bit. Amoco Station with a friend of mine who just passed away about a year ago. He was the owner, and I ran the place. I was a manager. I ran the place. And after that, I just did different things. I always like to come up with ideas. I come up with a lot of ideas. Never put them into motion, though. But
sounds like you did a few of them, though, quite successfully.
Quite a few,
So during all this time, where is John in all of this? Like, how did you intersect during, after high school?
Well, he was in the Navy for a few years.
Then
he worked at the, he worked in a steel mill in Chicago Heights. And then he got a job at the Art Institute.
I painted billboards.
Oh, yeah, painted billboards for a while. Yeah, that's right. With the real leaded paint, the good
leaded
stuff.
Paint. Good one stuff. Shot from Gary Indiana.
then he got the job at the Art Institute, started out as a security guard, and they liked him so well, they worked him all the way up to executive...
assistant director. Of campus security.
There's only one man ahead of him, so... He worked there until they let him go. They had money problems there, and then they cut his job loose. So.
17 years.
Well, 17 years at the Art Institute. So.
So we'll go ahead and kick over to John, otherwise known as Brabant, and you should tell us the story of how you got that. But maybe just pick up where your Giuseppe left off there. So you're at the Art Institute.
Yes.
And
I started as a guard, and I had a degree from Circle Campus, a BFA. Studied under Roland Ginzel, a very well-known, one of the first color field painters in Chicago in the 50s. Nobody wanted nothing to do with it because they were all into the Harry Who, the Nonplussum, and those kind of, groups. So I went there for a teaching job at the Art Institute, but all they had was part-time, and it was for continuing studies. The salary was bad. I had a family at the time, and I said, man, I can't do this. So I walked to the job board, and I said, assistant director of campus security. I don't think I have any of the qualifications, but I'm going to go for it. So I went. There were 17 other candidates. Well, evidently, the director of student affairs, the president, Tony Jones, Peter Brown, it was a unanimous decision to hire me as assistant director. And the funny part of it was Felice Dublon, who's still the student affairs director, said, oh, yes, but John can protect our students because he was in Vietnam. And I said, I didn't know how to say, I didn't say nothing. You know? I said, yeah, okay, sure. So, you know, I ended up there 17 years. I had quite a good time there. I mean, I apprehended two thieves on my walks. You know, one guy was in the 112 Michigan building, which is one of our school buildings.
Right.
Got some lady's purse. I went after him through the revolving doors. I said, stop! I didn't have a gun, but I went like this. Stop! The guy got all panicky. And then he kept going, so I kept going after him. I tackled him around the knees and brought him down. Ripped up my good suit pants, brand new suit pants.
Oh.
I was bleeding. And, you know, the Art Institute never reimbursed me for my slacks.
I know being a superhero is tough.
Yeah, I know. And then there was another one where some guy tried to hijack. I don't know why. They had a lot of homeless there, and this was at the Wabash building.
Right.
I was in the lobby talking to my security guy, officer, and the guy come in and grabbed one of the outgoing mailbags. Well, security guy didn't do nothing, so I said, I went out the revolving doors again. It was dark out, and I crouched down. I said, stop! Drop that bag! The guy dropped the bag and kept running. So I got accommodations for that. I got at least two accommodations.
You have a powerful hand there with no gun in it. He can hold that gun.
No gun.
So during that time, are you able to take classes at the Institute and
I took
to keep up with your art?
I took some with Molly Moore, who was did graphic design.
So that's the person that helped put you in Facebook jail all the time, huh?
Yeah.
With your graphics.
Molly, yeah. Oh, he was mad at me, you know. He said, come on, Lenting. He said, you got a PC at home? You're so talented. I saw your work that you did by hand in the 60s and 70s. He said, get an Apple Mac. So I didn't listen to him. I got another PC. He said, get away from me. He said, yeah, I told you to get a Apple Mac. He said, but no, you got a PC, so just forget it. He said, so that was that. But earlier on, too, beautiful lady, Christina Ramberg, who died early. This was back in the 70s when I first went to the school. I spent 2 years there, then I went to Circle. But Christina Ramberg liked my drawings, and she told me, and I didn't know. I was a kid out of the Navy and stuff. And she said, John, do you know your drawings resemble Richard Linder? I said, who the hell is Richard Linder? She said, look him up. He's a famous German artist. He does heavy set women and, you know.
Rubenesque.
Nice. I looked him up and I said to myself, no way. Where did she see that? But that was Christina Ramberg, who was, you know, part of the Harry Who non plus some. She's actually getting a lot of notoriety again in New York City. Oh, she, Christina has been, had a few exhibits since he passed away. So, they're starting to recognize her work from the Harry Who. She used to do these lacy drawings of like undergarments and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I loved it at the time, but she died so early. She was married to the painter.
Well, while you're thinking of it, we're listening to Art in the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And you're hearing the Lenthing brothers, John Brabant and Giuseppe. So
during that Art Institute
Philip Hanson was his name.
Okay.
Philip Hanson, well-known artist.
So what type of work were you doing then? I mean, because your work, I'm sure it's not the work like the work that you're doing now necessarily.
I used to do a lot of what I call Dubuffet overlapping heads, you know, in that archaic kind of a style. Then I did assemblages. I've done sculpture and even minimalism in my first studio in Park Forest. And that's not easy. You really have to have the sensibilities to do a good minimalist piece. They're layered, and you have to see the colors come through somehow, and you can just tell a good piece. There was a whole movement of minimalists who were excellent, but then there's people that tried it, and they were just complete failures because it's not minimalism. So.
I know, because now you're using, a lot of your paintings are on, like, industrial cardboard. And
right, industrial cardboard,
so good.
3/4-inch cardboard, which I'm almost running out of. My brother Joe got me to hook up with that in Dalton, Illinois. Mm. The plant was closing. They were moving to South Carolina. And he told him, he said, get your brother over here. I know he's an artist. So I went over there.
Yeah, you're the general manager. I knew the general manager, so he said, maybe your brother can use this stuff. I said, I don't know, I'll ask him. They had a whole factory full of it. We bought a whole truckload, but now he's kind of running out of it. Well, he's got a mass of work, you know, he got a lot of work there, so.
Yeah, that's the problem. I got to start, you know, I've lost track of the people I knew in Chicago, and I want to reconnect because I know the quality of my work, it speaks. And, you know, just like recently, I put my stuff on LinkedIn, these little drawings I do every morning, or flash drawings.
Flash drawings, yes.
And, man, it's just professors and curators. They're all talking about it. I love you. You're a natural, you know. And then the guy that introduced me, the first one that found me was Robert Chapman. And the next day he puts a comment on my one flash drawing. He said, wow, Willem de Kooning would have said, that's the cat's meow.
That's a great compliment.
And he continues to this day to relate. He said, man, you're a master, masterful. I said, don't say that. I'm just an artist. I love what I'm doing, you know, and stuff like that.
The flash drawings allow you a different palette at times. So
yes.
It's almost like I gauge your moods every day by your flash drawings.
Yes, they are, because they're done at right around 4 in the morning, and I get into my little home studio, and, man, I've accumulated so many flash drawings. I don't know. I got to figure out a way to market them, but it's hard because I have to mount them on handmade paper. Then I have to, you know, set them up so with the archival glue, with under pressure for, you know, at least a day. And it's all work, and I don't like work. I like to play on a canvas, you know.
Because your work on the you have like a very definite palette when you're doing your larger pieces, and so
right.
I know it's like.
And that's, I told Robert Chapman the same thing, and he was, oh, by the way, he was the Willem de Kooning's assistant for 10 years.
Oh, well, then that's like an extra amazing compliment.
From 1980 to 1990, and I looked him up. I thought first he was BSing me, but no. He was,
I think, de Kooning's a crush of a lot of us, I think.
Yeah. I think I truly loved him, you know.
Yeah,
I said, to
same.
The day he was doing with the Alzheimer's, he was just doing strokes. You know, they were still powerful. I saw them at Larry Gogeshan Gallery in New York a lot of years ago. And
yeah, you should tell the story of how you got in to see that exhibit.
It just moved me, man. I walked in and I said, oh, wow, can I do this? But I'm still having trouble. Really, I feel comfortable on a large piece, but I like to tame what I'm doing on these flash drawings on a real large surface. But that takes mops. It takes real huge brushes, you know, and I just...
You're unable to do it anymore.
My health lately, I've been in and out of the Veterans Administration, and I want to do it, but man...
I know there's so many complications to going big. I mean... It just seems like there were larger studios, and probably because the cost was a lot more affordable. But to get a studio now that allows you to do these large pieces are really impossible now.
It's impossible. I took two trips to New York City 10 years ago, and I was funded by my girlfriend, who I was dating at the time. Spent a week there and looked at rents, and they were already like $2,000. The last one time I went, it was over 3,000 for not even a huge space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said, my God, I can't afford a bathroom in New York City. So I better find something else, you know. So eventually, you know, I ended up in Michigan City.
Well, tell us a story about how you got the Brabant. I think that's an interesting story. I think you've told me that at the studio. Oh,
okay. How I came up with the Brabant, I was disgusted. I went to New York. This was during the New York trips. They kind of ignored me because I told them I'm John from Indiana, and they said, oh, okay, we'll file
big
this.
Big deal.
We'll file this work, you know.
We'll file it, yeah.
So I come back all dejected. I talked to him, and we hashed it around. He came up, and he said, how about we were born in Brabant province?
Tonight.
And I said, yeah.
Yeah, I told him, I said, you know, we were born in Brabant. That's the province we were born in. I said, why don't you take that name and go as the artist known as Brabant? I mean, that sounds European or, you know, French or...
And you've used that before to great effect.
And that would give you, you know, a plug. People say, who is this Brabant, you know, and they want to check it out. Instead of just John Lenting, I mean, from Indiana, come on.
Yeah, they thought I was a corn farmer or something in New York. But since I changed my name, you know, at the first part, now it's kind of slacked off because it's my own fault. I don't drive it enough. But I had interest from galleries that actually wanted nothing to do with me, and then they hear Brabant Lenting, and they said, oh, can we see your work, you know? Phony. I said, sure. But I was going to say, you didn't want to show me before. I was John Lenting.
Well, that's how you got... I remember a story you told me a long time ago about how you got into a show in New York by using a different persona.
Yeah. That was a Lucas Samara show, and that was at the Richard Gray Gallery. And I was in town, I got done working, I had my suit on and everything, and I called. I couldn't get in at first. I rattled the door, and he said, this guy, you know. So I said, oh, I got to come up with a plan, because I want to see that show, you know. So I went to the phone booth. They didn't have cell phones yet. I called Richard Gray Gallery, and I said to the girl that answered the phone, pardon me, but I am flying in from Germany, and I'm really interested in Lucas Samara's work. What's your name? And I told her, you know, some Yope something. And I went back, same guy, and they let me in. And I got to meet Lucas Samara. So I saw his work and stuff, so... Sometimes you got to do that, I guess.
I know you told a story to me once when I was at your gallery about you had pieces on thing, and some lady came in and wanted you to commission a work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's my very first studio in this
Miss
area.
Miss Canfield.
Yeah, okay.
Of Canfield Bottling.
Yeah, I had a studio in the Brown Building in Flossmoor, right? I'm working away. I'm a young guy, you know. And a lady walks in. She says, young man, I like your work. I said, good. Look through the racks. Thing, you know. whatever you want. We'll talk. And she said, no. I want to commission you for a painting for my house. And she starts saying, my rug is this color, my sofa. I said, stop. I said, I don't work that way. I said, you can pick out anything you want in that stuff, and I'll give you a deal and all this stuff. So she said, well, okay, young man, well, you just lost the commission. I said, well, fine. And she's walking out, and I had on this like a door jam like this on the way out. I had a little doodle, like a stamp, similar to my flash drawings. Mm-hmm. She said, oh, this is nice. Is this for sale? I said, yeah. She said, how much you want for it? I told her, $50. Mm-hmm. So she takes out her checkbook, and I'm looking. I'm saying, Margie Canfield. She's writing out the check. You go, thanks. I said, oh, crap. Not that I wanted to play him anyway, but she was Margie Canfield from the Canfield Bottlers from Flossmoor.
Wow. Well, just think what you could have created.
So you didn't change that. You didn't change your mind on that commission, huh?
No. And I still
don't want to match those sofas.
I still don't do commissions. A lot of artists say, yeah, nothing wrong with it. I can handle a commission, but I can't. I get too tight. I'm too spontaneous.
Right.
You've done too much of that when you're doing the billboards.
Right. Well, that too, yeah. Hanging from a bosun chair in the middle of downtown and saying to my Mexican buddy who was painting on the other side, I said, man, we're making a mess, Jose. He said, no, senor, we take a break. We come down from the board and you take a look. It was like super realism.
No kidding.
Glass, women, beautiful makeup, faces and stuff. But you get up there, when I was up there, it was all like splatters and paint. Well, you can't get too nitpicky up there.
Right.
So that's how I first said, damn it, that's what I'm going to be an abstract. I'm going to be an abstract artist. And that's how I got infatuated with
that. And too much realism in your life. So
yeah, too much realism. So. Too much.
So you could say the billboards did actually influence your outcome as an artist then.
Yes, very much so. I wish I could have kept going more, but the company in Chicago, Triangle Signs, was bought out by a big company from New York City, and they went completely vinyl.
Right.
Right.
That was the drawing, the separation part of the hand-painted billboard versus the vinyl. And they said, we don't need pictorial artists no more. So,
wow.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Most of them today are all electronic, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when did you meet the guy gang that I met you with, like, 20 years ago with DePiro and was it?
DePiro, Richard, yeah. God bless his heart. Mm-hmm. He was a charming man and hell of a sculptor. He helped me a lot.
The most wonderful.
And he used to, his wife used to get embarrassed. He said, Richard, stop. We'd go to these openings in Chicago and he'd start chatting with these old ladies. They were probably collectors. He said, hey, you see that guy? He was talking about me. He's a mafia art dealer. I said, stop. I'm a mafia art dealer. And Karen
magic into my life, DePiro.
Karen used to say, Richard, stop. It's not nice. You're embarrassing. But, man, he was. And then he had a little studio over there. And towards the end of his life, he bought a little building in, what was that?
Brook,
Indiana. Beautiful place, got a real deal on it. He paid like less than $30,000 for it. It was all brick.
Wow.
Never really got to do anything. He had so much junk in there. He couldn't turn around to do any work and stuff, so,
You're listening to the Lentling Brothers, John and Giuseppe, on Art on the Air, WVLP, and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. You can't get away today without mentioning your buddy Stephen.
Stephen Nyehaus?
Yeah. Did you see the thing?
Yeah.
And you're supposed to mention, I think, BB, which is somebody else's young dog.
Oh, God. I'll get in trouble then. Okay, I will.
Well, I did it for you, so how about that?
Oh, okay.
So.
BB. Yeah, BB. I love BB. Stephen Nyehaus is a piece of work, too. He got inspired by me, so... He's got his little art collection now. He's bought several of my flash drawings.
Yeah.
Pays on time, you know.
Well, that's good. That's always good. Yeah. Well, you know, one thing, too, is that this is a First Friday. I assume you're going to have your place open on in Michigan City on First Friday.
Nope. Not until March.
Not until March.
Yeah. Oh. March is the start
it's
of
no
First
use.
Fridays.
You know, I got this new lady now that moved back from New York. She's a performance artist. And
is she having something there?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to working with her this year because now there's two of us in that building, you know.
For she wants to do a video with you.
Yeah, well, she wants to do a lot of things. But, you know, there was nobody in that building for almost like 2 years except for me.
Yeah.
An exercise person and another.
Henry Schultz was in there for a
Henry
while.
Henry Schultz was in there for a while, photography. It wasn't doing him any good, so he moved out. Carol Estes moved out.
Yeah, along with Rhonda.
Rhonda,
yeah.
And Rhonda, and then Linda moved out with Beach Bum Jewels and stuff. And it was empty.
Except for real estate,
back.
Right? Real
Nobody
estate.
Came back there no more, you know.
I try to well, every time I'm in Michigan City. I always try to hit there every time.
Well, you're a regular.
And I'd be there all the time if I didn't have my own place.
Yeah, I know you got your own. You got the same problem as I do. I want to get to the Lebesnik Center on First Friday, and I can never make it because I got to be at my.
Well, you can do it this weekend, though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because there's that.
And we have Drum Circle. We're open all year for First Friday at the Nest. We don't take
so
a break.
Say, because I'll be there for at least a while for First Friday this Friday.
Okay, it's Friday now.
Yeah, it'll be later tonight from 5 to 8.
Later
Friday
tonight.
Today. Yeah.
We'll see how that weather is out there.
I know, really.
I think it's going to clear up. Being a weather geek like I am, we're getting lake effect. It's a real narrow strip.
It's said by 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it's going to be
cleared up.
Going east of us,
the sun's
and it's going to be sunny.
Come out.
Be fine.
60 degrees out.
Well, it won't be so bad.
Dream on, people.
May not be 60 degrees,
come
but it may
drum
be
circle,
freezing.
But
I got to... I just met my younger brother from California, Leo, right? He's about in his 50s. He's a long-distance runner. He never pays attention to anything I do on Facebook. But his best buddy that he drinks with is there every day, Ron Roundy. He's an artist himself, and he compliments me and everything. And it just gets me, man. That Leo is in his own little world.
San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
And he's an artist in his own right. I taught him how to run back in the early days. My dad used to chase me around the block because I upset my mom, and he'd come in huffing and puffing. About a half hour later, I'd be hiding in the closet, and he'd say, "Where is that guy? He runs like a gazelle." Gosh, I'm going to beat the heck out of him.
I remember that. It was in the middle of the night. I was up, and all of a sudden, shoom, he jumps out.
Yeah.
The old man right behind him, you good, yelling. All the lights in the neighborhood went on.
Yeah.
He went around the block. He come huffing and puffing back.
You boys.
I could have been somebody, too, because the
he
coach
hid in the bedroom, but the old
high
man
school.
Said, the old man come in and said, "Where is that guy? That son of a bitch runs like a gazelle."
Anyway, Coach Jacoby from Bloom Township High School tried real hard to entice me into joining their track team, which I probably should have done, but me, you know, chasing the girls, and I had to get a crew cut back in those days. I had long hair, so that was out. And so my younger brother got interested in running, and I taught him how to run. We used to run together, and I used to run maybe 10 miles a day in my younger days.
Wow.
And he got a scholarship to University of Kentucky in Lexington, and then he went on to San Luis Obispo, He won the state meet at Bloom Township High School because he was after me. He's still in the foyer there. Got a picture of him.
Record books. Yeah.
And he still holds the record for the long distance running. So I kind of missed my ball, but there's no regrets. I mean, at least he worked out, and he's got a good job now with a sport company, going to different colleges over the country, selling running equipment and stuff like that, and
pole vaulting equipment,
and teaching young kids in college and high school, and so he's happy, and I did my job, I guess. He turned out real well, so.
So, when you are reopened, how would people get in touch with you if they were interested in your work? I know it's like on, first of all, becoming your Facebook friend is probably the easiest
Larry,
way.
Larry, that's a problem because I post something a week or two before, and just Facebook just isn't it. It doesn't I get two hits on it. And I need another source, to spread the word when I start up again this year. And it'll probably be better because that lady from New York is there now.
Right.
And I look forward to her crowd coming in. And, before we closed this last season, when she first got the studio, she brought in a couple from New York, right? They come into my studio.
He had a little, it's phenomenal work. 100%.
Like, this guy had like little Philip Glass glasses, the architectural glasses.
You're definitely a collector. Or
and he started saying, "De Kooning." I said, "Holy, hey, you know something about that?" That's not a De Kooning. I said, "That's a Brabant." He says, "I know it. I know. I like your work." He says, and so they looked at my flash drawings, and his wife was an interior, she owns an interior design firm, a big one. And they bought three flash drawings from me, but they said they were gonna come back for the bigger works, but I'll wait for that material. I've had many people, even from Long Beach, come in and say, "Oh, I love that painting, I love it." The wife is saying to her husband, he overheard it because he's always there, and they don't know he was the artist. And the husband goes to her, "Honey, I don't think I can live with that."
Yeah.
So that was several others. I had an old restaurateur come in. His wife used to take me on the side. "We're going to come back and get one of these big paintings." Yeah, they never happened either, so...
You just need someone actually to market you so you can be creative. You need
someone else. I shy away from that because I'm a starving artist and I don't want to pay somebody big bucks to try to represent me. But there's got to be somebody out there that can get me in the right circles.
Well, even someone who might be interning in marketing or something like one of the local universities might be a help. And
Greg Hertzlieb is a big help. He gave me that little show over there. And oh, by the way, he called me, 2 weeks ago. He said, "Hey," well, I'm not going to throw his voice. That's not nice. I could do him real good.
Yeah.
He said, "Hey, Brabant, we had a movie crew in here. I don't really know what they're, but they filmed your paintings." He said, "Now they want the rights from you to, have them in the movie so you get credits." I said, sure. What do I do? I sent him the stuff. I haven't heard nothing yet. I don't even know what kind of film it is. I don't think Greg knows what kind of film it is.
No.
It might be a documentary. It might be something for television. I don't know.
I know, because I'm also involved with Lakeshore Public PBS, and they do a segment called Eye on the Arts. And I put your name on that. So so hopefully we can hook you up with them, and they can do a little segment for you on television.
Yeah, yeah.
They do a radio segment, but that's only like 7 minutes, but it'd be nice to have, I've already put your name out there, so if you hear from them, from Eye on the Arts, probably Tony Santucci.
I've seen
Tony
that on,
Santucci.
He's the producer
on television.
Yeah,
Lakeshore.
Damn it,
Public.
And I don't know their number. Some numbers I don't recognize. I don't answer the phone.
Okay, well, the main number though, I'll give you that off air. But I've already put it. I've sent them. Because with our art show, I said, I want to get. This show is about promoting artists, and I said, this is a perfect... Yeah, I said, what an interesting character to put on camera, so I think you guys would be great on the camera.
I appreciate that. I mean, every little thing would help.
Sure.
because I'm still trying, even at my age and my health, I'm still trying to get to New York, but it's like almost next to impossible. You know, I can get in a group show there once in a while.
Yeah.
What about, you're always like patronizing Zhao Bi. Is there any, is Sergio, is he able to?
No, Sergio, I've heard.
Has he been out to see your work?
No, he doesn't even, even on LinkedIn, I've been posting these flash drawings. He never responds to LinkedIn. I don't know what it is. I never done nothing to the guy, so I can't say, you know, that, but.
I know he just recently quit his teaching job.
He's got all his own people. This is what Lou Shields told me years ago. Lou Shields went to Italy with him to an exhibit that Sergio put together, and Lou came back and he told me, you know, in confidence, no, I'm not showing with him no more. He said he's, you know, he kind of told me that he's all for himself, for the glory and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that showed me, and I've been watching him, and it's true. If you don't like or go crazy over his work, he won't say a thing about your work.
Well, and he's got his wife helping him out with marketing also.
Oh, yeah, so. His wife is a professional too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, we have just about not quite a whole minute left. Any final thoughts you have for our audience, either one of you?
Well, if you're around First Friday in about a month or maybe another month.
In March.
Stop in at 617.
Stop in.
At Franklin.
Or would you,
Street,
like if they sent you a message, would you go open up the gallery for them too?
In action.
Oh, yeah, I've done that already. Yeah. I've done that for people from Chicago, yeah.
I know, it's a good thing to do.
Anoush is one of them. She was just there not too long ago. You know, she loved my work. I was with her at the Art Institute, you know.
Well, your work is truly exceptional. It's just,
well, thank you.
Just I think everybody should go and see your gallery.
That, it's, Esther.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate having you guys on the show. This
thank
was a
you.
This
we
was a
appreciate
hoot.
Given the opportunity to be on the air.
And we'll have to have you back to tell some more of your stories there. You've been listening to Art
of
the
Air. We have a lot more of them.
There we go. Art of the Air. And I'd like to thank our, yes, the Lentling brothers, John Brabant, Lentling, and Giuseppe. And there they are. This is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m., and Sunday, 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Hey, your hosts today are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager. Hey, the underwriters for our show are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Art in the Air is also supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant and the National Endowment for the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest, send us information or getting your information about your art exhibit, artontheair@wvlp.com. Next week, we have Footlight Players talking about their production of Gypsy, the musical. So we'll see you right here next week, 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio, Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a terrific week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.